have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Some people said that I wouldn't be here today, but 646-564-9842 on speaker. No one.
Hi, Apostle, you are already on.
Call 646-564-9842 on speaker.
Apostle Smith?
Press in to his presence. Off so it doesn't interfere with what I'm doing.
Well, let me play another selection.
Please.
Just drop again. Yeah.
Please. Are we having a fun time tonight? What?
It's all good. He must got something very special.
I'm
about to play this. Be right back.
Happy and like doing the jiggy jiggy and all that kind of stuff, you know, just because you're here with me, you have excited my soul tonight. And so let's see who else is up this time of night. Let's see if that guy from the Upper Marlboro is on the line tonight. Hey, man, he's been busy plucking and trucking and getting things done, but I think he's going to know to call the line tonight to get in the conversation. Bishop Elect Richard, are you on the line tonight?
Ryan, by the living color. Still out here floating around like I bought some property. I just don't know where it is.
All right. We see he's with us tonight. He's not so in love with the truck that he forgot the Lord. Lord have mercy. All right. Let us go to that college park. I don't know who go to school there, but they call it College Park. Let's see if that Apostle Felicia Fight is on the line down there in the T3, Georgia. I hear something sound like the ocean. I'm not sure if that's her or not.
That's the elder. Elder, that's your phone.
It is. I can't do anything about it. I'm actually still driving, trying to get to a place where I can park this truck.
Drive safe.
Okay. Does that young lady in Georgia ever come in?
Not yet. She's not here yet.
Okay. Let's see if anything is happening in Scott, Indianapolis, Indiana. Is there any noise in Indiana tonight? I guess not. The Pastor Anna Henderson is not with us tonight again. All right. What about over there in the other side of the PG place? Hey, man, is he taking any pies tonight? Talking about that Apostle Irvin Whitlow. Is he in with us tonight? All right. Sound like it's quiet on both sides of Georgia tonight. Well, I know a young lady that is here because my show came on tonight and there's some great music behind it. That's a sign that she is alive and well and with us tonight. Kim, come on, say something to the people.
Hello. And we also do have my beautiful friend, Janelle Robinson, on as well.
Well, why you always got to tell me Chanel is on? I ain't got to her yet. Boy, I tell you, people
are so proud. Oh, my dear,
I know you, but she come in on Tuesday, and she sit in the back almost the whole show. She usually here.
Doctor?
Chanel, how you doing tonight, girl? See what I say? Now she ain't saying nothing. She was telling you, go ahead, tell me I'm here.
Oh, I was muted. I'm sorry. I'm doing fine.
How you going to talk to me mute? I don't do no sign language. So what's going on?
Nothing much in the A right now. It's just cold.
Have mercy. We need to send some heaters down. Yeah, so well, tonight looks like it's just the four of us on this boat tonight, unless there are other callers. We're not talking about all of you that are on the social media highway. We're talking about our panel. Amen. It's just going to be us tonight. Amen. If any others call, let us know. Kim and Kim. But we're going to start our discussion tonight. Amen. I'm going to ask Chanel to pray. And Kim and Kim, read the scripture, which is going to be Revelation chapter 3. All right, Chanel, give us prayer tonight.
She's muted again.
Chanel, get off of mute. Get off of mute. God can hear your prayer, but we can't. Get off of mute.
Let me go ahead and pray, Apostle. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. As always, God, we give glory and honor to you for your loving kindness, for your tender mercy toward each and every one of us. God, we've taken the time to come before you because we have a desire to have this show tremendously blessed by your presence, tremendously blessed by your anointing, tremendously blessed by your power, tremendously blessed by your hand being upon it. We're placing this show into your charge and into your care. We thank you for every listener, Father God, whether they're on social media, whether they're on this particular podcast, on the telephone, wherever they may be. Open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, bring this word to life that we may hear, know what it says, receive it, and put it into action. Father God, do these things for us and be ever so careful to give thy name the praise. For it's in the mighty master's name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for everyone tonight. Thank God for you, Alex, for taking that spot. Let us hear our scripture, Kim.
Now, Revelation chapter 3, what verses are we starting on?
Start with the first verse.
Okay. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, said he, it has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and stricken the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And the angel of the church.
That's good right there. Amen. Now, let me say this before we start into this scripture tonight. When we closed out last week, we dealt with a church last week that God said they had done this and done that and done the other. But then he says, but, meaning there was a problem. He said, but, I have against you because you left your first love. He says, go back to the altar and repent. I'm paraphrasing somewhat. Repent and get your fellowship with me back together. I'm going to throw you out of this church that is being written about right now. And we close out with a momentary statement, because after he told them they lost their first love, he told them a word that is scarce nowadays. He told them to repent. So let's talk about that word for a few minutes. Kenneth, what is it to repent?
Repentance is a lifestyle that is done on a daily basis, and it needs to turn away from. And it's a 160. It's not a whole entire circle. It's something that you want to allow God to take you away from something, whether it's addiction or whatever your problem may have, that you may have. And also, you don't ever graduate from a repentant lifestyle, because we all fall short of the glory of God. So that's why it's a repentant lifestyle. Repentance is a lifestyle. I'm sorry. And another thing I love about repentance, it helps us to stay humble and knowing that we still have a long way to go to be like Jesus. Repentance is part of the makeup of a believer, because he says that we must repent and we must come to him daily, because we all fall short daily of the glory of God. So it's a continuation of turning away from something, because you're fighting with your flesh every day. But one thing I love about the Lord that we serve, we are covered by his blood, and that's why we can truly say that we are still righteous without filthiness. And that is one thing I want to have a talk with Jesus. It's like, how can I be righteous in this filthy body? I want to have a good old time and have it with him. He's going to just tell me all about these stories. And so it's amazing in knowing that I know I'm filthy rag in the flesh, but my God sees Jesus. So that is still an amazing. So your true love must be Jesus. He must be your first. So when he does become your first, you don't want to disappoint him. But when you do disappoint him, don't allow Satan to play with your mind to say that you're not a believer because you made a mistake or you sin or you came short or however, what is politically corrected to many people, because people say so many different ways of sin. Sin is sin, and you know, everybody falls. Someone have problems. Someone have issues. And so with that being said, repentance is a continuation of telling God, I'm sorry.
All right, Chanel, if you're on or back, please tell us what repentance is. Chanel.
Can y'all hear me?
How do you hear me?
Hello?
We can hear you.
Repentance for me is it's just like what Kimmy said, is asking for forgiveness for our sins. We sin from the time that we wake up to the time that we go to bed. And you know, and one of the things that Jesus told his disciples to do, he taught them how to pray. He gave them the Lord's Prayer that we should pray on a daily basis, and that deals with repentance and asking for forgiveness of our sins. So we'll start off with a clean slate pretty much every day.
Okay. Now, out of what you said, though, I wouldn't bother it, but I have to.
Mm-hmm.
You said sin from the time we wake up till we go to sleep. If we sin that much, then are we saved? somebody, anybody?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
She said we sin from the time we get up till we go to bed, and we are safe.
Yes.
Yeah. By the blood of Jesus.
Because of his grace, his love and his grace.
Bishop, what you got to say?
If we sin from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, I'd say we make mistakes. We do some things wrong. We have to understand what we're talking about when we say we sin. To say that we sin means we practice as a lifestyle a certain way of living. Now, I know I wasn't asked what repentance is. Repentance is shifting or changing from one extreme to the next. In other words, having a change of heart, a change of mind. We were sinners, saved, but now we're saints. We're saved by the grace of God. We can't be both sinner and saint. You are either one or the other. Your spirit is immediately saved, immediately saved. Your flesh still has a lot of work to go with it. So, and I'm not disregarding what Sister Chanel says. She is, I know what she's saying, but I would say the proper way to say it is we still have flaws. Yes, we are saved, but we have flaws. That's what I'm going to say.
Now, I want to say that statement and agreement just there is like people that get up and testify and say, I got saved in my sin. Are you trying to tell me you in the hotel with somebody that's not your husband, not your wife, and got saved? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Can God do it? God can do anything. But I don't think so. Are you trying to tell me you was out in crack alley getting high and got saved? I don't think so. Can God if he wants to? Yes. But you're already in an altered state. How do you know you're even getting saved?
All right.
So, I agree. I agree with Bishop Elect that I think I understood what statement he was trying to make, but the statement that was made leads to big of a loophole. As Dr. Wien said a few years ago, she said that the problem of the church of this hour is like a crack in the street. She said they stand as close to the crack as they can get without going over, but still with the body part leaning over, giggling in sin. She said, but what they felt was, your feet could be on the right side of the crack, but when you lean that body over, more of you is in sin than you know. Because most people, your torso is longer than your leg. So when you made that answer, yes and no, and I would say you are giving some correction to that, Bishop, but I want to say to you, we cannot, as the TV show said, we cannot be saint and sinner, and even as they try to portray. A lot of the people on that show were supposed to be saved and had more sin going on than they had righteousness. How is that possible? So if we have repented, then it means we have done a 180 and turned from sin, God, to live a better life. And I think sometimes it's not the fact that we are so wrong with what we say, just the way we state what we think and feel, that it sort of be a loophole for those who are just getting in God or trying to get in God. But ain't got to get out, we can still stay together. But that ain't so. That ain't so. Well, I thank y'all for that wonderful discussion on repentance. And let's also notice something. He said, except ye repent. He told them, you're not going no further in me except you repent. And if you don't repent, I'm going to remove you like you was never part of the church. So repentance is very serious. It means a whole lot to God. We got a lot of folks playing around with repentance. You can't come to the altar tonight and cry like an alligator and then start what you were doing all over again tomorrow. It's not possible. It's not so. There was no true repentance that went on. If you've been in church a long time, you know how it was. Revival time come, you were up there for every altar call, crying and acting like you just throwing everything to God. And already in the back of your mind, you'll say, I'll be glad when this service is over. Because me and Joe, me and Mary is getting together tonight. You want to be sitting, you are holding things for heavy up. But true repentance says, not only am I turning from sin to God, but when you turn from sin, it says, I will never get into this again. That's true repentance. Not just crying. Not just feeling sorry. Not just, you know, wasting time crying and slobbering and carrying on. But when you are through with all that, is your walk different? Is your talk different? Are you living a different kind of life? If you are, then some repentance really went on. And I'm not talking about old school, where they kept us down there half the night, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, it worked in that day, but we don't actually have to do that. We didn't have to do it then. We just didn't know better. They were doing what the older folk then were doing what they know from down south. But if you can just believe, it can happen for you. So we thank God for you tonight. And the end discussion of chapter 2 from last week, thank you so much. I believe somebody understands either why they don't have it or why they don't have it fully, because they've been saying things, but they ain't repeated. But they ain't repented. They've been having a good time being emotional, crying, beating the floor, rolling around. But when they really repented, then things started changing in their life. All right, let's look at this second chapter of Revelation. And I'm going to tell y'all now, this study came to me because the Lord said to me, they know what the page says. But when you really look in the spirit at what God was saying to us about these seven churches, he really was trying to let us know in the latter hour, there are going to be seven spirits loose amongst the body of Christ. Last week, we distinguished that there is a backsliding spirit in the midst of all this shouting and speaking in tongues. There is a backsliding spirit. And when I say this, you're going to say that is true. People that used to come to Bible, and we ain't talking about no pandemic, so please don't say that, because people were backsliding before the pandemic. They used to be strong about coming to Bible study. All of a sudden, this 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, next thing you know, they barely come to Bible study. That's backsliding. They were strong in the choir. Next thing you know, they might come to rehearsal, they might not. Then when they show up, they think they're so special, they think every song you introduce, they're supposed to get the lead. But they're in a backsliding condition. You come to rehearsal when you want, not because it's the day of rehearsal, because 3 weeks of rehearsal went by and you didn't come. Now this week, you think every song is supposed to be yours because you showed up. So there's a backsliding spirit that is loose in the church. Let's see what spirit we're dealing with tonight. Who want to take us in tonight?
Well, let's go. Let's go back to, let's read the scripture again, and let's discern what spirit that we're dealing with. Dr. Robinson, you got that scripture again, and read slowly. Key is in that first scripture. No, yes, I ain't sure. Oh, we is quick tonight, Apostle.
No, I said I would do my best. Let me start on 3:1, and it reads, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, quote, these
okay.
things."
What's okay. the next line?
Okay, said he that had the seven spirit of God and the seven stars, I know thy work. That thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3,
okay.
remember.
Okay.
All right. I.
There is a famous book that is out right now that will describe this church. What's the name of that book? Does anybody know?
Pimps in the Pulpit.
The Purpose Living? The Purpose Living? What?
It is a book that's out right now concerning the church. What was this real good? What's the name of it? Okay, now I'm going to say this. Y'all got to start reading them all of your romance and get back into stuff that's going to feed your spirit. The name of the book is A Deceased Church.
Oh, okay. I remember now. Wait, it was something, marks of a deceased church or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. Give me a minute. I'll think of the whole name in a minute.
Yeah, I recall it came out back in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I think it came out then. It's been a little more famous in the last few years. But
yeah.
It is called the...
Give it to him, Lord.
Oh, Lord, somebody look at that on your computer. It's
I'm not able to.
There's something of a dead church. Look it up on the computer. It should come right up for you.
Oh, my Lord. I'm not sure what it was called. I think it was the marks of a dead church or something like that. You know. But anyway, I get the idea.
Yeah. Cause you know what brought that back to me?
What's that?
It's a great name, church, and do great things. But then that next verse says, there are some in that congregation live and some dead. And you act like it's not happening.
Yeah. So to identify.
How can you know people in the house are dying and still be complacent?
Well, and that's the key word right there. Well, you're asking to identify that church. That church is complacent. The leadership in that church is absolute complacent. No real regard for the people or for the body that's assembled there.
Was it called Three Marks of the Dead Church? It's Three Marks of a Dead Church. Is it called Three Marks of a Dead Church?
No, it's something else. It's something else. What else is up there?
That other book is up there, too, when Chanel's the pastor. No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
You're funny.
Are there any other books showing?
Let's see. Six Stages of a Dying Church, Three Symptoms of a Dying Church, The Dead Church.
What is it that?
They went from symptoms to just completely dead.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else up there?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The name of the book is called An Autopsy of a Dead Church.
Of a Dead Church.
Oh, the autopsy.
And really, that's what Jesus is doing with this church that we're studying tonight. He's taking an autopsy. You got a great name. You're doing great things. But I can see a little further into you.
Mm-hmm.
You're dying. Now, that's something right there. It says God tells them the great things he said in verse 1 and then tell them in verse 2, but you're dying. Right, tell me about that.
Well, I mean, let's think about this. Again, we already identified the church as being complacent or mediocre, either word, more mediocre than complacent. And when you're in that spirit or moving in that vein, you're only doing what's needed and or necessary. You're not even trying to be spiritual. You're actually trying to be politically and socially correct. And I mean, to be in that vein, to be in that lane and walking in that lifestyle, you've already negated the gospel of Jesus Christ and the witness that came with it. That's just my opinion.
But how many churches, I mean, I ain't talking about faith. How many churches do we know that is in that predicament right now? They'd rather be in with political and modern-day crowd than to tell the word like it is.
Mm.
And I'm going to point it out, especially when it comes to stuff like adultery, especially when it comes to stuff like homosexuality, especially when it comes to immoral sex, especially when it comes to a whole lot of things that just seem to be sliding by now. And some of them ain't even sliding because the past is just didn't bother the people.
Amen.
So how is that possible, though? Somebody tell me. Jimmy Kim, Chanel, don't y'all sit on this phone quiet tonight.
Mm-mm.
I need your input. Y'all too thinking with me.
Yeah.
There ain't no quiet. You're thinking with me.
My spiritual mother used to say, pop up like popcorn. Pop up like popcorn.
So what was the question? I'm sorry.
To put down. Yeah. Put that secular work down and listen to that. Lord Jesus.
Well, I'm working the, I'm making sure that I don't have any callers. I'm working the board, too. So keep that in mind. So that's why I have to ask you to repeat the question.
Tell the question, Richard.
Oh, Jesus. You just caught me. Go ahead.
How is it possible that sin, I'm going to change it just slightly to make it more sensible. How is it possible that so much sin is allowed in a place that is supposed to be holy?
Yeah, and actually you said, how can a church be complacent and just allow sin?
Yeah.
That is definitely not good. Some people can't get used to it, you know, but when you're growing in grace, and mercy, you will get convicted. So some people may not have that growth. They may still have that baby milk. It just depends on your relationship with God, because everybody may not want to stop. I'm going to be honest. I still remember one of my friends who's a pastor. A lot of people think that sin, you know, is good and feels good. And so a lot of things that you have to give up, sometimes people think that they're going to miss out on until they start trusting God. And so a lot of people continue on sinning because that is all they know, because they're milky. And that's why it's important that when you see someone that's fall, that you pray for them, because there were a time where, well, I don't know if you guys, that some people may have been there, like myself, where you're doing the same thing and you're not growing. You're thinking that you're saved, but you are saved. You cannot take your salvation away, but it's a benefit when you're working for the Lord. It is so much peaceful. You have so much joy and laughter in your heart. And, you know, you really have come to the Lord. And so that's why when you see churches doing the same old thing and they're okay with what they're doing, they're not growing. And they're not living a repentant lifestyle, because when you sincerely live a repentant lifestyle, you don't want to do the same things you do, because you'll be like a Paul. When I try to do right or good, evil is present. And so you have to die that. You have to die your flesh daily. You have to die it. And so that would be my input.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. Don't make that input and leave me a hanging, because I'm going to disagree with you. There's no way you can be saved and keep doing the same thing. I want to tell you something. I mean, that's like knowing I'm married, and then me and you gonna have an affair right in the church with my married wife. Now, you can't keep telling me I'm saved. And you can't keep saying you say, we know my wife is living. We know she goes to the same church. We are ride church together, ride home together. But yet we run around, sneaking around to see each other. I'm still saved.
You are carnal.
So you also have to remember that sin is not always physical. It is also thinking. So that's why it says,
you say you say, and the wife say she say, but me and you are running all around town having an affair, and we know the wife is still living and still go home with me. Are we saved?
Well, we've got to go back to the scriptures.
Don't you have to
have a mindset? The mind of Christ, but you yourself has to have a mindset, a mindset that you want to change, and It's about a lifestyle, just like Kimmy said earlier, that the church itself, and I think it also deals with politics. And the reason why I say it deals with politics is because some churches, they are dead because, like she said, they're not growing. But one of the reasons why they have not grown or they're dying is because they are not willing to preach the right things. They want to preach what everybody else is preaching, where it's prosperity, it's God's going to bless you. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they're not saying that if you don't change your wicked ways, you're going to end up going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
so many people have this notion that there is not a hell. They believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell, because we know that God is a loving God. He is a loving God, but he also is God. And in his word, he says that if you don't believe, if you don't repent, you're going to end up in hell.
Well, Sister Chanel, I'm going to put something. I hope I put another coal to your fire.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why that kind of believing is so strong now? It is strong because since 1983, Bishop Carlton Pearson has been telling people you can commit whatever sin you're going to commit. When the end comes, we're all going to heaven. There is no hell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been one of his strong points of his teaching called inclusion. He tells people, oh, go ahead and sin like you want to, mess up like you want to, sleep with who you want to, male or female, male and male together, man, woman and woman together, or do all you want to do. But when the end comes, there's no such place in hell. Everybody's going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You teach that mess long enough, they ain't going to take nothing, but everybody's going to heaven. Why are these folk talking about hell when it don't even exist?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all what you were saying, that's really where it comes from. And let mm-hmm. me get off of Bishop Carlton Pearson, because now, well, we just started 2022, but just this year that went out, I found out about at least 12 pastors who sound like they're preaching the way we preach, but I just found out about 12 pastors that follow Carlton Pearson's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The people are confused by all mm-hmm. preaching, and I agree with you so much. If you're not going to preach right. it right, don't expect them to do right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody need read verse number 3 for us.
Verse number 3?
Yes, Revelation chapter 3. Verse number 3.
Remember, therefore. Okay, you got it. Cool, go ahead, Mike.
Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. If
Uh-oh.
You do not
right
wake
there.
Up.
Stay right there. Don't read no more. Stay right there for a minute. What did he tell them to do?
Repent.
Go back further before we get there.
Oh,
what did
he tell them to
do?
Hold it fast and repent.
Go back a little further.
Okay. I read the whole thing again. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it
okay.
fast.
First thing he told them, remember. You already been told some stuff. You've already received some stuff. You need to remember that. And then what else did he tell them?
What you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent.
Oh, stay right there. What's some of the stuff that people have heard? They should be like, what have they heard? That they know to, need to hold on, that they need to hear and go forth with. What are they remembering? Bishop Elect, you still with us? Did he drop off since Kibby Kill? Kibby Kill?
No, he is still here. No, he's still here. He must, yeah, he is still on. He may have.
Okay. All right. I'm back. I'm sorry. I laid my phone down. I'm down in my office now, so I'm doing some shifting and some changing. You were saying, sir, I'm sorry.
I'm saying that third verse told them to remember what they have heard and received. I'm asking now, what have we heard and received that needs to be remembered even in this day and hour?
That Jesus is God come in the flesh, that God, Jesus still saves, God still redeems, that the Holy Spirit is here to work in you and through you, for you in certain situations and circumstances, that the Lord is our shepherd, that we've been accepted in the beloved, that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we are the head and not the tail. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. The bottom line is this.
Wait a minute. Because you must not be reading the same Bible that some of the other book is reading. Because if God can do that much, why are we having such a hard time keeping them inside of God? You remember what we heard and received.
Uh-huh.
But it seems to be a hard time in this hour getting people to remember what they heard and received. What is greater than what we have heard and received that has them off kilter?
Mm-mm. Wow.
Somebody on this line, please tell me. I don't know if y'all can see Facebook. I know somebody trying to write us on Facebook, trying to answer my question. What is it in this hour that is so much greater than what God has spoken and we have already received that now people, amen, to the next statement says, you heard and received, but you need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those two statements don't go together. Because if you heard and received, then what is that repent for?
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, this is proof tonight. You cannot be saved, righteous, holy, amen, living for God, and still be involved in sinful living. Let's not forget now. He started
all right.
Telling this great thing. You got a great name.
Right.
You're doing great work. And then he went to the next verse, but I got something against you. You got people in the congregation dying. Your church is dying, but you act like everything's all right. Then he goes on to say, you need to sit
I mean, you're just talking about going back and doing the first works over, those works that brought joy, that brought peace, that brought tranquility, those works that cause you to go deep into thought. I'm not saying oh, Lord, help me. I'm trying to remember how to say this. Okay. I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect, that we're going to do everything right, that we're going to cross every I and dot every T. What I am saying is we have a merciful God who gives us opportunity and chance each and every day of the week. And in that alone, we ought to be grateful.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying they heard and received, and some of them said, oh, gosh, forget it. Forget about that. I got to live life. Is that what happened?
I think so.
Because what I'm driving to, when you hear something, it causes you to make the proper decision of what needs to be done. And then when you remember, that means you're never going to do it again because you can't get away from what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many of us online now, as old as we are, can say nowadays we hear mama or daddy talking to us louder now than when they were living? And they ain't nowhere to say it. Your memory is talking loud. You heard it, but now you can remember what you heard and received from them. And when you get ready to, let's say you're cooking a whole turkey, you get ready to put the ingredient in there that you think gonna make the turkey right. You can hear mama say, don't you put that in there. Your turkey ain't gonna taste right. And you might stand there for me, why I can't put this in there? Well, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Because you heard and remember, you reach over there and get what mama used to use and put it on the turkey. And boy, when you sit down to eat, everybody's saying, whoa, this turkey like mama's almost better. And you're just sitting there cheesing, because nobody knows you almost made a major mistake. That would have been the worst turkey ever that you made. But because you heard and remember, and it came back to you, you were able to make a good turkey. Now, who will admit, anybody on the line, that they hear mama or daddy talking now better than they did when they were living? Is there anybody on here that will admit it? Or everybody quiet, I guess. Ain't nobody had them encounters but me. Well, mom and daddy.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm listening. You're talking really deep stuff. Sometimes you have to marinate some of the things that you're saying.
Oh, witness.
That's a good thing. No, I.
Mama,
what I'm saying is,
my mother's still living, so. My mom's still living, but I do understand.
But she told you. But even if she told you, you're not at home, right?
No, I'm not. But I do remember.
You can hear it better now than when you was at home.
Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And see, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying there's no punishment for remembering or whatever, but there are certain things that we're getting ready to do, we can hear the voice of our mother and father, and they ain't nowhere in the room.
Right.
And sometimes so loud and so clear, you turn around and say, huh? And then you realize, oh, Lord, I'm here by myself. I'm just remembering what mama or daddy said. But it keeps you out of trouble when you yet pay attention to what was said. When you get follow what was said, it helps things to come out right. But this church here, they heard, they received, according to the scripture, look like they still went on doing their own thing. Because the next verse was, you heard it. You got it clearly. But you need to repent. You didn't do it, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, that ain't written, but you got to be able to see what's happening. They heard it, they received it, but they did not follow through with it. They did not do it. Because the next line says, but you need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, talk to me, Kim and Kim. You seem to be fired up tonight.
Well, I really believe repentance, once again, is a continuation of lifestyle. You don't graduate in this body. But at the same time, you should see some growth. You should, I mean, I'm still reminded of David, how he was very interesting in the Bible, and God says that he is apple eye. And I'm still reminded in Paul how he was a murderer of the church, of Christian belief. But he wrote most of the second for the New Testament. So my point is, I know that we're not perfect, and yes, we should not want to go around and fall short. But there are times when that does happen. I want to let people know that you can still get back in this race, because unfortunately, that's one of the reasons why people are leaving the church, is because when they do fall, they feel so shameful that they continue on falling because they're afraid that the church people, not God, will judge them. And that is a problem for me, because I'm going to be honest, I'm looking at all of the wonderful stories I hear in the Bible, and even including homosexuality. But we tend to, you know, I understand that we have a lifestyle, but some people are not where we are. And it's up to us to go and get that sheep and show them that God loves them and not condemn them. And so with that being said, yes, you live a repentant lifestyle, but if you see your brother or your sister falling short, who is a believer, and they, you know, they may not have that same foundation. They may not have that soil. They may not have that scripture that is in their heart to keep them from doing the same things over and over and over again. So we're called to pray for them and go help them. And so that is why I have an issue with, I really believe, this is my sanctified eyesight. I really believe that once you give God your life, John 3:16, and you believe in your heart that he has risen from the dead, you are saved. And you can't lose your salvation. But it's up to people like us to help those babes to understand that this is a daily walk. Sometimes they tend to, you know, not understand why they still have these feelings, and they just got saved, but they've been in the world for 10 years. So that's why it's important that we do have those who are new in Christ. But, yes, we are in a repentant lifestyle.
Let me ask you a question. You said in your own statement just then that the flesh does not graduate inside of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the flesh doesn't graduate, then evidently that means there's supposed to be a graduation in the spirit.
Absolutely.
Now, if the flesh cannot graduate, and there is a graduation in the spirit, why are the seats of graduation so empty if there's supposed to be a graduation in the spirit?
That's a good question. Well, sometimes we tend to, well, for me, I could see why sometimes we cannot graduate from the from the spirit, because we're still in the flesh thing. And it's a daily, daily walk, just like when you're with, like, Paul, not Paul, but Peter was walking on the water with Jesus, and he saw Jesus. But the moment he took his eyes away, he was falling. He was asking for help. And that is the same thing as once we take our focus off of the spiritual things, because when we are believers, we are called to live a spiritual lifestyle with spiritual vision, with spiritual purpose. But we're still in the flesh. So that's why we wrestle against flesh and blood daily. And it's a fight. And that's why Paul said to kill it daily, because the flesh is wicked. However, we're still fighting, and yes, we can overcome it with the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, it is a progression. It is a process.
Let me say something to you. Have you ever read this particular scripture? It says that we walk not after the flesh, but in the Spirit.
But at the Spirit, absolutely.
Okay. Look, have you read it first? Have you ever seen that in the Bible?
Oh, absolutely. I read my Bible.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say another statement. I think with that one scripture, the saints fail to understand what it is really saying. That scripture says to us, why are you having problems in the flesh when you are not flesh?
That's a good point.
But if we're not to walk in the flesh, but after the Spirit, then that means our flesh has no more meaning.
That's true.
And if we walk in the Spirit, it will tell our flesh how to act. It would tell the flesh, no. You can't carry me and walk with me and act like that. No, you're going to have to straighten up. No, you're not going with that young man or young woman today. You already know what's getting ready to happen. And if we would allow the Spirit man to have charge like it's supposed to, there wouldn't be so much sin in the body of Christ. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron. But those two statements don't even go together, but they will fly every day with these weak, bad things we got now.
That's true. But you have to... But
the body of Christ has broke that messing up at the same time.
That's true. But a lot of people are not getting fed like we were fed as we were growing up. So that's why I'm saying you have a lot of babes who are not being fed properly. Sometimes they are in those type of churches where they do more of the fleshy things than the spiritual things. So that is where we are right now in some of the churches that I have seen. You know, you have the pastor who people look up to the pastor, and the minute that the pastor is sick or if he needs anything, they do anything for the pastor. But let's say, for instance, if he does something wrong, oh, my pastor hurt me, I'm church hurt, because they put everything to the pastor, not to God. But so you have that in the church. And so that's why we must continue on praying for the church building, not the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the body of Christ, because it's impossible to tell. The body of Christ is not the problem. It's the building that's the problem, because we are called to go and fellowship with one another, but you're seeing so many different buildings that is supposed to be of God not really following after the Spirit. They're following after the worldly things. And so the babes who don't know, they unfortunately weren't like us raised in the church. That's what they know. So you have babes who are, yes.
I'm going to ask you a question on something you said, but we go too far. You said that everybody's not getting the same word. I want to flip that a little bit, because I agree with you. But I also want to flip that a little bit to
That's true.
Everybody's not teaching the same, but yet at the same time, what is being taught, everybody ain't receiving either.
That's true, too. I agree.
That is good for the soul and will help them become a mature Christian. A lot of them ain't receiving it because
that's
they want to live their own way. That's why.
Absolutely. That's it. You just said it.
Well,
and secondly, this is so good because I'm glad that you're on this topic, but let's say, for instance, you are a new babe and you don't know anything about church culture. You want to get to know Jesus, but we're still called to have mentors like Timothy had to Paul and vice versa. So their mentor may be teaching them the wrong things, and then they end up in church hurt because they don't know what's – even though I understand that people are called to read the word and study, show them self-approval and everything like that, but everybody may not understand what that is, so that's why a lot of people come to the church. To get that help. And then when they see what goes on in the church, they're like, wow, what's so different about this church? So that is my thing that I see.
You and Chanel know just like I know. And I'm going to say it, but I don't care who to take it. What's happening nowadays? Guys are getting straight. Guys are getting saved right off the street. Just got finished using drugs, alcohol, sleeping with everything they can find. And they take him right off the street. He come in church and shout a few weeks. They put him up to preach. He didn't say he was called. Oh, you can they put him up to preach. 2 months later, he's a pastor already.
Right.
Now when he start talking, what is he talking? Everything he knew off the street. It ain't no real word.
Mm.
He start talking street talk. Now that street, now that street talk and that street language is now going in the three of us. Well, we're going to start talking.
Amen. Come on.
We're going to start talking street junk because where we get it from? From the street preacher giving us street junk.
Right.
This is why the church is so weak now. The holiness message is out the window. The living right message is out the window. The fasting and praying message is out the window. Thank God for those old schools that taught us, because we only made it this far because of what they told us. I don't care how wonderful we try to act. It was the old schools that brought us to where we are now. And we have tried to place that same anointing in the crowd behind us, but they didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And they don't hear it. That's why the church is so wild now.
Amen.
That's why the inside of the building is so wild now. And as we started all saying, now preachers are just politically correct. They won't say homosexuality. Alternate lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys are male companions. No, they're homosexual. Doing what the Bible says is against the word. Stop trying to pet it up. Call it what it is. Preach it like it is. And we'll see holiness come back to the church. And see that why, and I know for a fact, Kim, I know for a fact, Chanel, that's why I don't get invited that much in New Haven or really across this country, because I don't have no filter.
And I love it.
I'm not going to make it pretty. If you're in the gay life, I'm going to talk about gay life. If you are adulterous, I'm going to talk about adulterous. I don't care how good you claim it feel, it's wrong.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I married my wife But, you know, you just don't know this lady right here. We went to high school together, and we was in love way back then. Well, that's over with because you married. And you can't love the one you're married to and love a dream. And sometimes you're trying to make the dream better than what you married.
Right.
If y'all didn't get together in junior high or high school, or you wound up at the same college and didn't get together, why are you sneaking around now? Back then, you were single, she was single. If you felt so good about each other, then why not ask each other, let's get married? We play around this thing, but there's some truth to why we must talk about sin. And if we talk about it right, it's going to make the eyes come open and say, sin is just sin. There was a bishop that that Richard used to be under. While he preaching, he would stop and just say, sin is sin. I don't care who kisses you. So he would just say, if you do it wrong, you do it wrong. Get it right. And that was the problem of this church. They looked good, had good faith. Come on, let me get plain again. How many churches do we know in this day out got great name, great program, wonderful choir, and all of that, and there's more sin going on than you can even shake a stick at? Including the pastor preaching to it, look like you almost fall out. I mean, right out the pulpit and go in his office and pour a shot of gin. Go right in his office and get a glass of Tanqueray. You can't even walk in the office after service, pour the cigar smoke in the room. Somebody on here tonight declare ain't nothing wrong with that stuff he's talking about. Well, see if they go to heaven, then tell me. Because the thing is, that got in your soul. Mr. or Mrs. trying to defend them, that got in your soul to go to an everlasting heaven teaching you hellish ways. So which one are you going to? Which one is you follow? Ladies, I'm so sick of the church playing around with the wrong things and not telling the truth about what's going on. It ain't like they don't know. Everybody wants to be received.
Right.
So what? If you don't receive me, I got a church right here on Dixwell Avenue. I can preach in this church every week and tell the truth rather than go to your church and you want me to lie. When I get there, I ain't going to lie no how. But you might not never have me back. I'll come, but you might not never have me back. Because the truth is truth, and we got to get holiness back into the house of God. Think about the Old Testament. When holiness was not in the tent, when holiness was not in the temples that were built, when they got to the door, their people would drop dead because they were not holy. And so now we let everything in the door because of grace, but the Bible also told us don't frustrate grace. Grace can go back to Old Testament. Grace can move out the way and say whatever God want to do, let it be done. I'm a chill right here. Go ahead, God. Do what you want to do, but I'll come back and be grace. See, I never forget years ago, I preached a message. It's coming up again. You know where that text was from? I preached about Ananias and Sapphira, how they lied and went to the temple and told that lie, and both of them dropped dead right behind each other. That day is coming back where people gonna be up testifying. I'm saved, sanctified, and holy, oaks, and right on the floor. God gonna say, "Get out my face!" Tell that lie.
Oh, Jesus.
Now you know you playing the number. You having drink parties. You're going to the club, but you're gonna stand up in here, talk about how saved, sanctified, and holy, gonna be. Oh, we gonna see it. We're going to see it before we get out of here. All this playing around the church, God, you can return his wrath on the church. Scripture say that we're going to scarcely make it in. Holiness is just that real. God said those of us that know him, he's going to barely make it in. And the nerds are going to say, then where shall the Son of Man even appear? If we barely make it in, what's the Son of Man going to do? This thing is real. And forgive the word, but it's an English word. We pussyfooting around with a whole lot of stuff that we should be straightening out. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't straighten it out, we're in danger of hell for ourselves. Just if we don't talk about it, then guess what? We allowed it. So you're just as guilty as the one committed it because you never said nothing. And when you didn't say nothing, it gave them free rope. It gave them free rope to do like they want to do. To go to Jim House and scream and holler all night, or get it, or go deeper, and then come to church on Sunday. They're going to sing to you and tell you how God can move if you just live for God. Oh, come off of it. It's a show. It's a show. I'm just at the end of this age, we're going to be some shocked people. I thought for sure she was going. Yeah, you thought do better. See, they were able to fool you because it was an outside show. But always remember, God said, I'm looking at the heart. God ain't worried about how long your skirt is. I mean, so to speak, he ain't worried about how nice of a suit you got on with a nice tie. He's looking at the heart, trying to see what's really going on with you.
Now that's the amen.
We get all excited.
He looks at the heart.
Yes, we get all excited about the outside show. I know Sister Jones, I know she's sanctified. Did you see that dress she had on Sunday? That thing was almost down to her knees. But you don't know when she get home, Joshua, who she ain't married to, Joe still up under that long dress, doing what he want to do. And she come back to church and look just as holy and smell just as good. It ain't got nothing to do with the length of the dress. Thank God you wear something decent, but Joe still getting up under there. And the funny thing about it is, she go to church and yell Jesus, and when Joe get up under there, she's still yelling Jesus. So when is she praising?
Lord have mercy.
Let me hush. I don't want pressing on these doors. What time is it?
10.
Oh, it is 10:42 my time, 11:42. You still got time, so I'm just listening.
Oh,
but
my Lord.
It's it's time to just continue on and tell the truth that we must live righteousness. Yeah.
But see, I'm going to tell you something. Some preachers I preach to, we need to get the Bible cleaner and clean up the church. Well, I'm going to tell you something different. Bible cleaner is nice. But you really want to clean the church? Get a broom and then start sweeping it up. A broom will move stuff that a vacuum cleaner will leave.
True.
When them
very true.
Go down, some stuff they pick up, some stuff they kick deeper into the carpet. But when you get that broom and start the cleaning, whatever in that carpet, when that broom goes through, is coming up and out. That's why down south, them old people would take that rug outside, beat it with the broomstick, make all that stuff fall out, and then sweep it. Make sure it was good before they took it and laid it back down on the floor, talking about it's better now. And I know
Sometimes I ain't wrong.
All of y'all done seen them beat them rugs and sweep them rugs and then took it back in the house. They beat it, stuff fell out. When they swept it, everything came out. When they took it back in the house and sprayed it, it smelled brand new. And the reason it smelled brand new, because the, I'm going to use it like this, there was no more sin in there to deal with. Oh, let me ask somebody. Go ahead, Bishop Elect, somebody. I done talked enough tonight. I'm meeting my dumb self. Go ahead. Somebody talk. Somebody got better sense than me. Go ahead and talk. Hallelujah. Now everybody's silent. Now all of a sudden y'all ain't got nothing to say. All you smart people, come on, talk to me.
All right. Well, since nobody's talking, I try to give opportunity and chance. We do have to take into consideration the very fact that this whole thing and this church that we spoke of is basically a representative of some one or many, if not all, churches, you know, within the framework of the body of Christ. And as easily as they got caught up, ours could become easy to the point where the church is no more connected. Now we got a problem. You know what I mean? Hello?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Chanel, you've been sitting back soaking for quite a bit. Come on, tell me something.
Come on.
Well, I'm still trying to take in everything that you said. I mean, it was really good. It was an eye-opener, but very enlightening. Very.
I want to ask a question. It's been coming up and down tonight, so I just want to ask a question. If all of us were in one service and I preached until heaven fell on everybody, people just bawling out, speaking in tongues, running around the church, all of this, and some. And then I leave the church and go to the club and start swinging around the pole. Am I saved?
I dream.
Am I professional?
That's a good question.
That's between them and the God, but I'm not doing it, so I say.
Okay.
I asked it about me. I didn't ask it about you now. You're trying to fly away from the question. I said,
I don't know your relationship with God. You can take it to another level. How about the ones that are
Hold on. Now, I was listening to you, and you had two different people talking. I was trying to unscramble what's being said.
Okay, go ahead.
But we need to also understand that I don't know if you're saved. I can only focus on my salvation. But because I am still working on me with the help of the Holy Spirit. So what I would do in that instance, I would pray for that person. I can't say.
But you don't know. Wait a minute. But you don't know that he went to the club because you went home. You didn't see him go to the club. You went home.
And then he went to the club that night. He went to the club that night, and while swinging around the pole, he lost grip, fell down, and broke his arm. Okay, now that takes your statement away. I'm getting ready to take Kim's away. He keeps saying, I can't say whether they saved or not. Well, then you're not in the Word, because the Bible says you're
a fruit inspector. Right?
The Bible says you're a fruit inspector. And if the tree goes to have apples and you keep seeing peaches, then what's wrong?
There's nothing wrong with that tree. That's the right. It's not an apple tree. It's a peach tree.
Now you try to be funny.
No, I really wasn't. I mean, you stop and think about it. If you're supposed to have apples and you're serving or shedding peaches, then obviously you have to turn out to be a peach tree because, you know, you go through a whole sea.
But it's been proven it's an apple tree. Why aren't we seeing peaches?
I might put them bad boys up there.
Uh-oh. And what did they call it?
He got mixed with something else.
There you go. That's what we call it in science class. Biology was my favorite class. Somebody merged that in with the tree. If you're going to be bringing apples and there are peaches, that is not what they say it is. Like nobody want to talk about it. They taste good, but really, a nectarine is not a real fruit. It's part peach and part apple. Tastes good, but it ain't the real deal.
All right.
You have the skin of an apple, the inside of a peach, and a core like a peach. How is that possible? And please don't say God did it, because I'm going to reach through his phone and all I'm saying to you is that I can't preach the house down and then leave the church. I'm a dancer at the club.
I don't believe you should be a preacher now, but, you know, that's not a good look.
So what you're saying is, it's so many preachers that are preaching right now that ain't been called.
They've been sick. Exactly.
What now?
You don't get me what I'm saying. Y'all ask me questions. I'm trying to get an answer. I think we're a little confused tonight. Just relax. Can you help them out? Now the bitch relax, Charlie. He's going to leave y'all out there. He said he's going to leave y'all out there. Take your place.
He's going to leave us out here.
Well, no, you know, and really think about this. I mean, none of us at any point in time should leave anybody anywhere, but yet and still we see it. The spirit of apostasy has to come through. It's all a part of God's master plan for our redemption.
But now I'm going to go back to the scripture. If we have some living like that, they're not doing the latter clause of verse 3, which the latter clause said what? Repent. And do y'all realize, I don't care what we heard and how fancy people get, and salvation tonight, the preacher is still, or Jesus is still saying,
repent.
And I, you want, well, this is my thinking and what I believe is in my spirit, man. When we get that true holiness and telling people to repent, we're going to see something in the house of God that has not yet happened in our time. Now, you can get up there with your show all you want to and tell people to repent, but when they find out you ain't about nothing, they ain't going to be up in there too long unless God done shown up did something with them.
Mm.
So when they find out the preacher's holy, guess what? They're going to say, I might well go back to the club then. I might well go and get my man back, my woman back. Go get my pipe back. Them folk ain't real. Now, it was one person, but they'll say, them folk ain't real.
Right.
And the reason I use the analogy that I use about preaching and then going to the club, don't you know anybody that was in that service or know that I'm supposed to be in church coming there and see me riding down that pole? Don't you know Chanel ain't going to be no good? Kim ain't going to be no good? Ernest ain't going to be no good? And who messed up? Me. But they're going to put a word on all of us for me. We all are so good. They faking, they playing. I saw so-and-so at the club last night, just sliding down that pole. I bet you some night they come here too. And y'all might be living as clean and holy as you can. But because they saw me, now all of y'all are clubbing.
Yeah.
And I done messed up your witness by not being real.
Amen.
Amen. Because, you know, we got a
I truly agree
because, you know, that,
we got to be careful in what we do.
We do.
We do. We do.
And live right. Our prayer yesterday, I said, Lord, make us so much like you that we get back the old time. Back in the old days, you didn't have to have nobody. Were they saved or were they in church? There was a look about them.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that was one of the saints. You knew they had been in the presence of God. Can you tell that now?
Mm.
I'm going to let Bishop Elect and Kimmy Kim and Chanel, y'all going to take this on out to 11:30. I'm going to sit back so I can hear something. Y'all done made me talk tonight. Lord, Jesus, I'm tired now.
You talk now. Well, you're talking real. I mean, you can't live a, it says in St. James that an unstable mind won't receive anything from God. I'm paraphrasing. And they are unstable in all of their ways. So when you have to be either hot or cold. You can't be in the middle. So with that being said, we do find that some people are living a lukewarm lifestyle. I was there. It wasn't a good feeling. You don't ever have that gratification. So what I do pray for those who are living that lukewarm water lifestyle like I was, because I pray that God can get them out of that drought, because you won't get the living water. You'll live like a really thirsty life, always wanting more, something else. And so when I did truly revive myself, well, God revived me, but when I decided to renew my relationship with God in 1998, ever since then, everything has been great. I'm not perfect. See a change in my life.
I do see a change. Mm-hmm. But I have not arrived. I still press towards the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm not a perfect being. She's stubborn at times. Kimmy Kim, you know, she's still.
Not you.
No, that's not me. you know me, Chanel. You've been knowing me since 1998. But my point is, and the funny thing is, we got the right hand fellowship on the same day. That's so funny. But my point is, I'm not there yet. But I can see a change. I really can. Yeah, we've been best friends since 1998.
Right, that change came about because, just like you said, you made up in your mind that that's what you wanted to do. So we all have to look at it like it's a mindset. It's a changing of our minds, renewing of our minds. We are new creatures through Christ. And it comes by we want to change. It's a mind. Mm-hmm. It's a mind thing. And some people are stuck because they don't want to change their mind. They're like, okay, well, I can still do this as long as I ask for forgiveness, or I can just keep doing this because, you know, it says that I'm saved by grace.
Right.
And because my belief is I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever I want to do because he saved me. And that's a lot of people's mindsets, and they're not going to they don't want to change their mentality. And then, again, they following behind other people. Like you said, you have mentors, but then – they have mentor, but everybody that is a mentor isn't a good mentor who you follow. And that's all I got to say.
Wow. All right. Let me throw something out there. If anybody out there listening, scriptures that we've talked about tonight with all its flaws, no one church is perfect. We don't have all the answers. We don't know all the answers. But one thing we do have, two things really, opportunity and chance. And let us never forget that we fall down, but we get back up again because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm done on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come back 1 week. You should have said that, Rich. I'm going to come back 1 week, and we're going to have a good discussion off that verse you just quoted. We fall down, but we're going to have a real good discussion 1 week. I'm going to leave it alone for now, but we're going to have a good discussion.
All righty, then.
Well, I want to thank all our panel tonight, the Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., and Kimmy Kim, and the wonderful vivacious Chanel. We thank all of you tonight being a part of this conversation. If I knew more, I might would say more, but I'm just trying to say what I can. And Rich had all the information to really take y'all somewhere, but he trying to act like he don't know tonight neither. But he's going to be all right. He's going to be all right by tomorrow. He had a few little cobwebs tonight, but he'll be all right tomorrow. But I want you to keep it up. Jesus, live for Jesus, do your best for Jesus. For somebody is watching your life. And you don't want to end up being like this church that we talk about tonight. Good name, great activities, and on the way to hell.
Mm.
Well, I just simplified it for you. Somebody said, don't say all that in the scripture. Well, I just simplified it for you. They had a good name doing great activities, but he said, repent. He said, that church is dying with all the good stuff you got on. That you are doing all the activities going on, but it's dying. Don't be like that. Get somewhere where you can operate in God, be free in God, do what the Lord is telling you to do, and make it in. You want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, they leave this part off. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't want to hear him just say, well done. He can tell me that outside the gate. But while I'm there, he's going to say, enter into the joy. That means you're in here, stay here, and have a good time because you work hard. Well, God bless you all. You're awake next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. I invite you to come back to The Voice next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. I believe Bishop Richard going to be here. I believe Chanel going to come through. I know Kimmy Kim better be here or else I can't talk to you. And then maybe next week, Apostle Whitlow, Pastor Henderson, Apostle Blake, and so many others who are usually in discussion will be with us also. I say to you, I love you. Shalom, shalom. And if you're catching hell, you already know. Don't hold it. If you are going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. God got greater things in store for you. Good night, everyone, everybody.
With him I stand, with him I win.